And congregation, shall we open the Word of God and read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we read the verses 4 through 18. John, chapter 19, starting at verse 4, and we read through verse 18. There we hear the Word of God. Pilate, therefore, went forth again, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So far, the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 18, where we read, Where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So far. Beloved congregation, last week we saw how the Jews put the Lord Jesus up for trial. And that the governor, Pilate, who is the official judge on behalf of the Roman authorities and on behalf of God himself, this judge knows that the Lord Jesus is innocent, and he's trying to do what he can to let the Lord Jesus go. But still, although he presented the Lord Jesus to them several times, finally he gives in. And he is willing to condemn the Lord Jesus to death, although he knows that Jesus is innocent. And now the Lord Jesus has been taken along to the hill Calvary. It's just outside the city walls of Jerusalem. It's located alongside one of the main roads entering the city. And the place was called the place of a skull. In Hebrew, that's Golgotha. And in Latin, it's Calvary. And then we read the words of our text, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So here we read then that terrible word, they crucified him. It seems as we read it that it's read, that it's stated in passing by, where it says, they brought him to the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one. When you read these words, it is as if the Bible in passing relates to this. But every word, every expression, every fragment of words has a deep meaning, especially these words. The terrible word where they crucified him. He is the King of glory. Some days ago he came into Jerusalem and was praised and exalted. And now is this the same King of glory? The one whom the fathers desired? The hope of all the prophets? The one of whom Moses had prophesied that he would come? Is this the shoot of the Uanoff tree, the stump of David? And he is being crucified. Especially in a service of the Lord's Supper, we consider this event. Because at the supper, we see there the signs of his crucifixion. We see the signs of broken bread as they broke his body, as they nailed him to the cross. We see the wine, the signs of poured out blood. And we read these simple words where they crucified him. But how terrible are these words? We have never seen it. We don't realize how terrible it was that they took the Lord Jesus and laid him on some crooked, rough pieces of wood hammered together. A rugged, awful cross, ugly. And his hands and feet were nailed upon those thick branches. And then the main beam was set upright. And the Lord Jesus was lifted up from the earth. They crucified him. But that's what the Lord Jesus wanted to happen. He wanted to undergo this terrible death. And not only this terrible death, but that he would also enter into outer darkness. That he would enter into damnation. And he wanted to do this lovingly. And he did it lovingly for his bride, for his people who belonged to him. He loved them to the very end. And the Lord Jesus wanted this to happen. He wanted to be lifted up from the earth. And he would be lifted up when he would ascend to glory. But now already he is lifted up. Lifted up from the earth on that terrible cross. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And now it's going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up. They can all see him. Even from a distance, they can see him. As those travelers entering the city through the gates, they look to the side and they can see that cross with the Lord Jesus on it. Just like the people of Israel had to look up to the brazen serpent, even from a distance when they in the wilderness after their sin had been bitten by fiery serpents, but those who looked up, they were healed. And so the Lord Jesus is lifted up, and so he is a magnet drawing people from all ages unto him. At those moments, it seemed to be a total failure. His disciples had forsaken him. A few women watching. John for a while there, but we don't hear much of John. It seemed to be a total failure. They only looked at him in scorn and mockery, but still, through this way, God was going to draw sinners who would look to that cross, look to the Lord Jesus, and see him in his love, in his self-sacrifice, in his atonement. And now God ordained it all. It was all by God's will. The counsel of God was being fulfilled. The words that the prophet Abraham had spoken years ago, that my son God will provide for a lamb to be slaughtered. And here the words are fulfilled. God gave his son. And his son would be slaughtered. When Abraham stood above Isaac with his knife in his hand, ready to cut his neck through his throat, the angel said, stop. And now the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is laid upon that cross, and the hammer is going to drive those spikes through his hands, and there's no voice. Stop. Because this is the way God had planned it. God slaughtered his own son. Thereby God proves that he is love. Sometimes we can hear people ask us, if God is love, why did this calamity happen? Well, that calamity happened because of our sin. But we see that God is love in that he gave his only begotten Son while we were yet sinners. And the Lord Jesus was willing to undergo. He could have cried out to the angels, they would have come and delivered him. But here are the words fulfilled that David once spoke. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. Then, O my God, I come, I come. And that's how the Lord Jesus was there. And you see the signs of it here. In broken bread, poured out wine. Crucifixion was a shameful death because the Lord had said, cursed is everyone who hangs upon the tree. And here Christ is hanging on that tree, on that cross. He is the King of Kings, the everlasting Son of God, God of God, Light of Light. And he is undergoing a shameful, cursed death. And he did it voluntarily, out of love to his people. Later on, Paul would write that the Lord Jesus humbled himself to the death of the cross. And here the words of Deuteronomy 21 were being fulfilled. He that is hanged is a curse of God. And these words that he will be a curse, that was torture for the Lord Jesus. Because he knew he was going to be made a curse, not only for the people, but to his God, whom he loved perfectly. He was going to be the accursed one. And that was the torture in this shame. But he did it so that his people would never have to undergo that shame. That they would be delivered from the curse that they had deserved because of their sins. So therefore he was willing to bear the shame, to go into outer darkness. Crucifixion was a shameful death. It was also a painful death. Pain. A slow, drawn out death. A crucified one had to hang with his whole body weight upon those spikes driven through his hands. And every breath that he would take would cause him to heave upon those spikes. It was torture. It was a painful death. But the painful was especially to his soul. It was terrible physically, but it was most awful to his soul. Because here the Lord Jesus is hanging not as a martyr. Later on, Peter would be crucified. He would also undergo pain. But Peter was a martyr. But Christ is not hanging as a martyr, but as one who is guilty. He must now be smitten as one who is guilty. The righteous fury of God and the wrath of God must be unleashed against him. He is the substitute. He is going to be punished. And God would forsake him, leave him in outer darkness where none of his children will ever be. And the fears of hell will get hold of on him. And he will have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so we should realize this was all because of your and my sin. We say the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus, but let's not say that too soon. Because why was the Lord Jesus on the cross? Because of our sins. It were not the Jews that crucified thee, but I did it by my sins. By my sins. And at the Lord's Supper we consider this amazing grace. And there at the supper you may quietly confess, this was caused by my sins. And then I hate my sin. And I desire that the Lord would deliver me from all my sins. And that in this life I would fight and resist evil that so quickly surrounds me. And there at the supper I look with deep amazement at the Lord Jesus, that he gave himself for me. And that God did not withhold his only begotten Son. That miracle become so great that the Savior, when he said, I for you, lest you would have suffered eternal death, then love pours out of the heart towards his Savior. Love of gratitude. And there we see the miracle. What happened there in his crucifixion. At the Lord's Supper, I meditate with deep amazement that he gave himself for me. What love! In his death upon the cross, we see how life gives himself up, gives his life up, and how death is going to be put to death. By his death. Here upon the cross, Jesus, who is the God of life, lays down his life for us. While death is being eternally nailed to the cross. And so death will be conquered. Where they crucified him. And two other with him. On either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So the Lord Jesus was crucified with two others. And those others, they were a thief, we call them. But they were robbers. They were murderers. They were criminals. They were crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus. And they were there because God ordained this, because the scriptures had to be fulfilled that he would be reckoned with the transgressors. He will be reckoned with the criminals. Because we have become such transgressors. Because we have engaged in criminal activity towards God. We rebelled against the Most High God. And now the Lord Jesus must belong to such people. Jesus is in the midst, right in the middle of those two criminals. And again, it's an accusation against us. Jesus in the midst, because we should be in those midst. We must humble ourselves at the Lord's Supper. We are entitled to nothing. And there we see His moving love that He gave Himself for sinners as we are. You know, who should be hanging there in that middle cross? Who should have been there, boys and girls, on the middle cross? It was Barabbas. He should have been there. Barabbas, the murderer, the killer. But Barabbas, where is he actually? He's home. He's home. The guards opened up his cell and said, "You can go home because you're set free. Someone else is taking your place." Who will that be then? Jesus of Nazareth. He's taking your place. And so Barabbas was acquitted. And you know, that's why you may be at the supper. Because you have been acquitted. And Jesus took your place. Jesus is in the midst, in the middle. That's also a proclamation. A proclamation in which the Lord Jesus invites us to come to Him, to be reconciled to Him, reconciled to God. Jesus had to hang in the middle. He must always be in the center. He must always be in focus. He came right in the middle of human suffering. And His death was right in the middle of man's guilt and death. He came there where the heaviest blows were felt, where the mockery was most painful, where the sins were the heaviest. He came right into the middle of our misery. He wanted to be there. He wanted to hang in the middle of terrible guilt, in the middle of terrible distress, in the eternal judgment of criminals. And why is the Lord Jesus there? To show solidarity, as some people say? Has He come to suffer along with us in our plight of suffering, to be one with them, to die along with them? No. His suffering is not suffering alone. His suffering is taking the guilt of His people upon Himself. He doesn't suffer with them. He suffers for them. He in their place. He is taking the blows. And He was smitten in the place of His people. He pulled the full wrath of God upon Himself. And so the Lord Jesus became as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So the Lord Jesus became a refuge place against the storm of God's wrath. The Lord Jesus, our hope, our expectation, our strength, our salvation, our all in all. He must hang in the middle. Must always be in the middle. We must look to Him. We can never save ourselves. The totality of our life must be focused upon Christ. And that's how it will be with the guests at the Lord's Supper. They desire to live for and with Him. They desire Him to be at the center of their lives. And that becomes their delight, their longing. It becomes the expression of the love of their heart. Lord Jesus, take control of my life and cause me to follow Thee wherever Thou dost go. And here at the supper, look to Him. That's the intention of the Lord's Supper. Look. That's why the minister raises a piece of bread. Why the minister raises the cup. We are to look. We are to see. And that's always the case. Throughout life, we are to look to Him. Jesus was standing, what was hanging in the middle. And He must always be in the middle. Because in a little while, Calvary will be empty again. The Lord Jesus will render His Spirit to His Father. His body will hang lifeless on the cross. Then the legs will be broken of those two criminals and they will die. Their bodies will be removed. The cross taken down. Calvary will be empty. No body will be hanging there anymore. But at the same time, we may say Jesus remained there. For He purchased full salvation. And He is preached to all nations as the crucified one. And to you then who look to Him, it is as if He is still hanging there. Although you know He arose and that He ascended to His Father and that He will return to judge the living and the dead. But His cross, to our estimation, is still there. He is the one we must go to and look to Him to receive remission of all our sins. We never are lifted up above that event on Calvary. And so you may look throughout your life to this crucified one. Through Him, there's reconciliation for all your sins. And He is now in heaven, praying for all those who look unto Him on the cross. And He is saying to you, I hang between criminals to be able to deliver you. And even if your sins were as scarlet, I will make them white as wool, as snow. Therefore I came into this world. Look then unto me. And see my finished work. With outstretched arms, the Lord Jesus hanging there, towards the north and the south, towards the east and the west, He reaches out and welcomes poor sinners. He said, as it were, from the cross, come unto me, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. And then the miracle may be experienced at the supper, that He became your Savior. And then you desire that the Lord Jesus will be more and more at the center of your life. That is salvation. And that will lead to the place where all His people will continually adore Him at the center, in the midst. Amen.